This is the time set for public hearing on Administrative Docket 503, amendments to Supreme Court Rule 42, proposed by the State Bar and its petition of February 24, 2015. Ms. Graham, would you like to address the court on the petition to begin with?
Thank you. We will be having Larry Kajewski presenting the State Bar.
All right.
Thank you.
Mr. Digesti, would you like to address the Bar's petition, please?
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice Hardy, State members of the court, thank you for this opportunity to appear today and speak on behalf of the State Bar of Nevada in support of the petition filed with respect to Pro Hoc Vici fees. As the court can see from the petition on file, we are asking for an increase in the application fee as well as the renewal fee for Pro Hoc Vici applications and renewal. There are a number of different reasons that the State Bar feels that an increase would be appropriate at this time. And I would like to start first and foremost by indicating that while the increase may be perceived by some to be somewhat excessive, I think there's a justification and a good reason for it. Currently, the application fee, I believe, is $550, and we are asking that it be increased to $800 on a new application, and the current fee for renewal is $550, and likewise, the bar is asking that it be increased to $800. Currently, $50 from each renewal fee is earmarked and designated for the client security fund. If approved by this court, it is the intent of the bar that an additional $50 would be earmarked for the client security fund, but that would come out of the increase in the annual renewal fee and not the application fee. So with passage, if approved, $100 from the fees collected would go to the client security fund. Further, it is the intent of the Board of Governors of the State Bar of Nevada, should there be an increase as requested, that for 2015 and 2016, the Board of Governors has committed $100 be earmarked from the fees collected for pro bono services. In other words, the money would go to, if I said $100, I'm being overly optimistic. Let me retract that. It's $75 from each Pro Hoc Vici application and renewal fee would be earmarked for distribution to the Nevada Bar Foundation for pro bono services, and that would be for the year 2015, the remaining portion of this year, if approved, as well as 2016. There may be some concern, or at least I anticipate that there may be some concern by the court as to the amount of the increase and why we are asking for the increase today, now. We would be, based upon statistics that I've read, and I think there's supporting documentation that would place us at the very top, if I understand correctly, of state bars across the nation on Pro Hoc Vici fees and renewals. And I think there's a good reason for it, and I think there's a good reason why we are requesting that now on behalf of the state bar. I believe, and the Board of Governors believe as well, that as a bar organization, we need to be proactive in planning for future contingencies and anticipating things that may come to pass. A particular concern is the projection of the number of attorneys in the state, active lawyers now, that fall within that certain age category that they may be retiring soon. And we anticipate upon that retirement, it's going to have a financial impact on the state bar. Furthermore, as the court, I'm sure, is aware, that the new admittees and the people that are coming and sitting for the Nevada State Bar now, and it's true across the country, it's not a problem, I think, that's necessarily unique to our state, but it's rather flat. We're just not getting the number of applicants and new attorneys that we've experienced in years past. State Bar has been successful since 2000, and I believe it was 2006. There was the last increase in bar dues, and we, as a governing body of the State Bar, we have been successful since that period of time to avoid any additional dues increase for our members. We have a fund that's been set aside, and it's designated as a dues reserve fund within the State Bar. I believe, and I'm told, that there's approximately $1 million set aside in that reserve fund. But if the trend continues with older lawyers retiring and the decrease in number of new admittees and new attorneys coming to the state to practice, that we soon, as an organization, may find ourselves taking from this reserve fund starting sometime in 2017. That's the projection that we have. And if that trend were to continue in 2020, that reserve fund would pretty much be exhausted. So we are being proactive. We are anticipating the shortfall that may come. And this is an additional reason why we feel at this point in time, even though, and I don't think it's premature, I don't think there's anything wrong with being proactive as a governing body and anticipating problems that may come up down the road. I think the time is now to address the issue and not necessarily wait 2 or 3 years from now to come back and ask for the same type of relief potentially. So this is obviously a situation where we are providing a service to our membership. As a governor, I have occasion to speak with other practicing lawyers, in all honesty, and I can't speak for the entire Board of Governors. I can only speak for myself and conversations that I've had. And a primary concern, if not the most number one concern that practicing lawyers may have, is the amount of bar dues which they are required to pay. Now, I think we've done a remarkable job in avoiding any bar increase in dues membership. We've been successful for 9 years. I think we can be successful for a couple of more. However, again, with the trend being what it is in retirements and new admittees, there's going to be a point in time where we're not going to be able to continue that very fine service to our membership in keeping the bar dues down. And circling back to the point that I'm trying to make is that the concern, I think, from the practicing lawyers in this state, and I can't speak for everyone, I only speak from my limited experience in speaking with certain members of the bar, that their number one concern, at least as represented to me, is the amount of the bar dues and when is there going to be a decrease in their due membership. Quite frankly, I've never heard anyone question or complain about the increase or what the fees might be for an application for a pro hoc vici. That doesn't appear to be anything that's of concern to members of the bar. I understand the court's concern, perhaps it may be a concern, I'm anticipating that it might be, that we want to make sure that clients in this state and citizens of this state are not denied an opportunity to have counsel of their own choosing. And I think there's a built-in safety device already, respectfully, in Supreme Court Rule 42. My experience has been limited, but I think it's safe to say that the firms that come to this state that are not licensed here and they come in on a pro hoc vici application are usually here because it's a case of some significance. And it's worth their time, effort, and investment to be here representing clients in this state in those types of cases. I do not believe, personally, and I think I can speak for the Board of Governors because we brought the petition to the court, that the $800 application fee or the $800 renewal fee is excessive. I think it's a cost that can be absorbed. I think it's a cost that will be without question. And at the same time, the citizens in our jurisdiction, in our state, still have a safeguard provision under Supreme Court Rule 42 that if they are of limited financial means and do not have the money to be able to pay the fees for these applications, that there is a waiver under Rule 42 which allows that particular individual to file the appropriate application with the State Bar of Nevada and a waiver of the fees. And I'm sure that if that were done, that certainly the State Bar of Nevada would accommodate those individuals. But I think that might be the exception as opposed to the general rule. There's no question that the fees that are paid as a result of Pro Hoc Vici are significant. It's a substantial financial benefit to the State Bar of Nevada, the practicing lawyers in this state, and quite frankly, the citizens of our community, of the entire state. Last year, in 2014, I believe the funds that came in from Pro Hoc Vici were $93,850. So you can see that the amount of money is significant. It goes into different parts as a secondary funding source for the State Bar of Nevada. And it allows the State Bar an opportunity to provide benefits not only to the citizens of the community, clients perhaps, that have, I hate to use the word, but defrauded by attorneys in this state with the thought of at least having a place to go where there can be some restitution available to them for their disputed claims, but also the services that we provide to our membership. Keeping bar dues in check, I would submit, is, to my way of thinking, extremely, extremely important. I think that's a tremendous service that we've been able to implement, follow through with, and hopefully continue for the next couple of years. But that funding source that allows us to do that is, I'm afraid, it's going to dry up just simply because, again, the number of attorneys that in this state are reached that magical age of retirement, and more importantly, the trending of new admittees coming to practice in the state of Nevada. While that may change over the passage of time, we have no assurance that it will change. If it changes, it could change for the worse as opposed to the better. And one thing is certain and we have no control over is the number of elderly practicing attorneys in this state that are going to be leaving the practice of law for whatever reason in the very near future. One of the State Bar goals is, of course, to manage the business of the State Bar in a prudent manner. And I think we are doing exactly that by coming before the court with this petition, asking the court to consider the request of the bar in anticipating future issues that may come up in terms of funding sources, what we need to do to continue with providing services to members of the bar while maintaining the public integrity in the profession and practice of law and helping those on a pro bono basis. For giving them access to legal services, which otherwise they may not have, and generally being aware of the problem. And I'd rather react sooner as opposed to later. And I think that's the trend. I hate to say it, but I think it's before us. It's something that we have to come to grips with, and it's something I think we need to deal with. The mission of the State Bar, as the court is aware, there's a couple of different things that are extremely important, and one of the mission goals is to govern the legal profession. And we do that with some of the programs that we have available and have made available to members of the bar, which are all designed to help members of the bar protect the integrity of the profession and ensure that our clients and citizens are properly served by the State Bar of Nevada. We also have as a mission, obviously, as I stated earlier, is to serve our members, and we do that in a number of different ways. Bar dues, obviously, are probably at the top of the list of priorities. Protect the public interest, which is one of our mission goals, is to save bar. And I think with the additional funding source that we are asking, that that will assist us tremendously in continuing to safeguard that particular goal which we have, and that is extremely important and probably right at the top of the list of concerns. So some of the programs that we have, and the court is aware of course, we have the TIP program, Transitioning into Practice, that helps our young attorneys. We now have a program that's going to be kicking off. It's I refer to it as TOP. I'm not sure if that's correct, but it's the Transitioning Out of Practice. Going to the general issue of an enormous amount or significant amount of attorneys in this state that have reached that age and that point in the profession where they're going to be transitioning out, trying to develop programs that would be a benefit to them in so doing, and while at the same time, again, protecting the integrity and the interest of the state bar in providing legal services to the citizens of the state. The Trial Academy, which I'm sure all of us are familiar with, that the young lawyers have put together, a tremendous, tremendous program that they have implemented. I'd like to see that continue. That would allow us, again, an opportunity to continue with these membership programs. Lawyers Concerned for Lawyers would be helped. The Nevada Lawyers Assistance Program, I think, would be another entity that would be benefited, if you will, from these increases. So we believe collectively that the time has arrived. It's something that we have to take a look at. We have to take it seriously. We believe collectively, again, as a Board of Governors, that the petition is well taken, that the increase is appropriate at this time. We would, again, be earmarking an additional $50 from the renewal fee for the Client Security Fund, and in addition, for the years 2015 and 2016, the Board of Governors is committed to a $75 earmark payment to the Nevada Bar Foundation for purposes of advancing pro bono services in the state.
Mr. Digesti, I've got a couple of questions for you to quantify this, if I might. First of all, do you have the amount of revenue in 2013?
What year, Your Honor? I'm sorry.
2013?
No, the only figure I have was 2014.
Okay. Using 2014, that would indicate to me that there were approximately 170 new applications and or renewals. Has the bar considered the impact, if any, resulting in the decline of such requests resulting from the increased fee? Has that calculation or issue been considered in raising the fee?
Your Honor, the figures that I've been provided, and I don't know if this answers the court's question or not, but it's certainly an attempt to do so. The current Pro Hoc Vici revenue is $674,250 is the figure that I was provided. Then there's an annual contribution to the Client Security Fund. It was $97,350. I think this is probably a more current figure. And the balance that went to the State Bar of Nevada is $576,000, almost $577,000. Now, the anticipated pro hoc revenue, and I'm not sure how these figures were arrived at, Your Honor. I can only speak to what I have in front of me. that the anticipated pro hoc revenue is $1,026,250, that the client security fund annual contribution would jump then to $129,350, and then the pro bono annual contribution would be $96,000 in the balance of approximately $800,000 then to the State Bar of Nevada. So you can see there's a difference. Now, and I cannot speak to the projected figures, what was done. I suspect that it's probably based upon an average of what's been done in the past. And I'm not so sure that we would be able to come up with any type of projection or calculation to see if there would be a decrease in these pro hoc vici applications and renewals if we were, or if this court were to approve the petition and increase the fees in the application and the renewal fee. I don't know that there's any way that we could project that, Your Honor. I think it would probably be a situation where we would have to take a wait-and-see approach to see if it would have a negative impact. Again, my own personal opinion and feeling is would be that we would not see any decrease in the fees. I think the attorneys from out of state that come and want to practice here on that basis have a legitimate business reason for wanting to come, and I don't think we're going to see any substantial or significant decline in the amount of applications or renewals if this court were to approve the petition and increase the fees.
I was confused, Mr. Digesti. I thought you said the revenue for 2014 was $93,850, but it's actually $600,000 plus.
I have the same notation.
Yeah. So do I.
Yes, Ms. Farmer.
Yes, this is Kim Farmer, Executive Director of the State Bar of Nevada. The $93,000 information that Larry provided was the amount of money that would be going, that is currently going to client security fund from the $674,250 that we receive on average on an annual basis. So from that, the $93,000 goes to fund client security fund.
And then the follow-up question, was there any analysis done as to the decline in the number of applications or renewals resulting from the increase in the fee?
In my analysis was more discussion, would the attorneys coming into the state to practice to take a case not come in if the fee were raised? And the thought was there are typically higher stake cases that come in. A number of our board members practice in firms that also have out-of-state locations, and they didn't feel that there would be any drop. The other thought process was if the attorneys from out-of-state did not practice, perhaps the client would then hire an in-state attorney.
Right. And then the other question I had is the amount of the effect on this increase, you projecting $1,026,250 annually, what portion of that would be distributed to pro bono in 15 and 16, and client security, I guess, would be doubled to 186,000 roughly?
Using the increase, we would take $75 from the total pro hoc fee and put that aside for the pro bono legal service providers that would go to the Nevada Bar Foundation to distribute the funds according to SCR 216. The client security fund annual contribution with this increase would increase to about $32,000 on average. Right now we're using the numbers of 640 new pro hocs and 640 renewals on average is what we're seeing on a regular basis. So if the anticipated pro hoc revenue with this increase in place would be $1,026,250. $129,350 on an annual basis would go to client security fund, 96 $1,000 would be the pro bono contribution, and then the balance to the State Bar General Fund would be $800,900.
Was any consideration given to the fact that you have some 640 apparently that have been recognized or granted pro hac vici status, and when they were granted that status, the renewal fee was $500. I'm not suggesting they have any vested right to avoid an increase, but fair is fair. Should they not be, those who are currently admitted under pro hac vici status in pending cases, be required to pay a greater sum than when they are originally recognized?
I think in terms of implementation, setting when the increased date is set forth and informing perhaps the those in the pipeline, not all of them renew. We have the new ones coming in to inform them that this is going up at a certain date with enough notice so that it's not a 20-day notice, 30-day notice, so that the attorneys coming into the state are aware of that. I think that's appropriate and a proper way to manage the program.
But that would reduce the projected revenue, at least for the first couple of years.
I don't think it would. I don't think the attorneys would opt not to come into the state with that increase.
Or renew. Okay. So the estimates you're using is 640 new apps and 640 renewal apps.
That's correct.
Okay. Any questions from my colleagues?
How do we monitor the firms that are presently here, the national firms that are here that have very few people involved when they bring their associates and partners in? How do we monitor that?
In terms, we don't monitor them. We check through the application process, ensure that they're in good standing within the state they're licensed. We also discuss, you know, this pro hoc. Are we seeing a lot of discipline issues come through the pro hocs? And we are not. We do not see a discipline coming through from these cases.
The only reason I ask that is I love to read the directory every time it comes out with all the new national firms that come in that will have two or three Nevada attorneys and probably have, you know, hundreds of attorneys throughout the numerous cities that they're in. And I just wonder how they even monitor as to whether they should pay when they come in and do. We do charge when they do a deposition. Is that correct? In other words, you can't, just because you have a firm here doesn't mean you can come from San Francisco and do a deposition here. Correct. You have to do pro hoc.
I mean, as an NJP or as a pro hoc, either or.
So there's no way to, unless the other side says, are you a Nevada attorney? Because it used to be when I started practicing, and by the way, Larry, old attorneys never die. They just fade away. I'm just curious as to how we're going to make sure that we don't get shorted on some of the people who come in and practice law here, who are in firms that are nationwide and have, you know, just a couple people here in Nevada that are Nevada attorneys.
I'm not sure I'm following your question. So if you have Nevada attorneys and then they're bringing in the out-of-state attorneys to work with the Nevada attorneys,
right,
under the NJP rules, that's sort of separate from the Pro Hoc rules.
Well, how does that work? That's what I was curious about.
So if you have an NJP, a firm with out-of-state attorneys, and you come in, you would register with the State Bar in Nevada as MJP and have a resident attorney.
Multi-juris practice?
Mm-hmm. So you apply with the State Bar in Nevada, and you have to associate with a licensed attorney with a firm or a address in Nevada.
I'm just not sure how that works. What does that cost, MJP?
MJPs are $250.
I'm just not familiar with it as to how that works. In other words, if the Jones firm is here in Nevada and it has offices throughout the country and they have like two attorneys here or three attorneys or five attorneys and they start bringing the big guns in for litigation, for depositions, they can do that under MJP and not have to pay the $850 or whatever it is? I just don't know how that works. It's been a long time. I know that when I was on the district court bench, we used to look carefully, you know, when the person came in for the fifth or sixth time, we would deny it. You know, we would deny that, even though they paid the fee, even though you approved it.
Under the pro hoc rules, you can come in a limited time. So after your fifth time, then you can't come into the state after in 3 years. So if you are an attorney here in Nevada and an out-of-state attorney wants to come in and take a case, they can associate with you under the MJP rules.
Ms. Farmer, when was the last time MJP fees were examined by the state bar?
I don't recall the last time. They have been reviewed in the last 8 years.
And under the MJP rules, that more often happens in cases or circumstances not involving litigation. Transactional lawyers are generally coming in under the MJP rules. Is there a reason the bar hasn't examined that as a revenue source as well?
There is not a reason we haven't examined that.
How many MJPs are there, roughly?
I don't have that number, Your Honor.
All right. Could you supply that, please, as a supplemental, if Ms. Graham would provide us with a supplemental information concerning the number of MJP requests and approvals and the fees and when they were last reviewed and how much you generate in that area. Because Prohack Beachy isn't going to matter if it's a non-litigation matter. Nobody's going to seek Prohack Beachy admittance if it's a transactional matter or an estate planning matter or something similar. Correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?
I was just going to mention on the multi-jurisdictional practice, I was on that committee. The last time I'd seen anything was the mid-90s. There was a significant report that was generated as a result of several public hearings throughout the state, and you might find some information in there as to how those fees were set and what they were targeted toward. And as Justice Hardesty indicated, I think our primary concern was the transactional aspect of it as opposed to the litigation. But it does exist, and it's at the bar somewhere.
Thank you.
Yes, Justice Pickering.
Thank you. Couple of questions. I don't see in the written presentation or the draft rule, and it may be that I missed it, declaration as to where this money goes, and I orally heard that some portion would go to pro bono, but only for a year, this year and next. Is there any definite commitment, or did I mishear that?
The ADKT does not list a contribution to pro bono legal services. The Board of Governor is suggesting a minimum of $75 on pro hocs to the court in consideration of...
But for 1 year plus another. In other words, it is not, it's a temporary allocation that is not stated in the rule as mandated.
In the ADKT, it's not stated. I don't think the intent was that it would be temporary. I think the intent was we would set a minimum amount and review it and potentially increase it.
Yeah, but did I hear correctly that the undertaking was for 1 year plus the year following?
You did. In Larry's Mr. Digesti's presentation, he said 2015 and 2016.
And is it correct that nothing in this rule earmarks all or any part of these funds for any particular program?
As presented to the court, there is nothing earmarking the increased pro hocs to client security fund or pro bono.
Do we have any data that would establish what demands this cohort of lawyers places on either the client security fund, provision of pro bono services, bar discipline? What do they cost us, this group of 640 new and 640 renewed lawyers every year?
We haven't had, I believe, I don't know the time frame, but we've only had one pro hoc issue in discipline in the last number of years. We haven't seen them through client security fund.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Justice Douglas?
Yes. Following up on questions or information requested by Justice Hardesty and Justice Pickering. If you would reduce to writing the various amounts that were talked about this day in terms of what's been generated previously, how it was allocated out, but more importantly, if you would look at this last year out of this $600,000 amount and at least break down how that money has been allocated last year. I'm, just to be very blunt, I'm concerned. I'm looking at what was provided as your Exhibit B, and there are only four other jurisdictions, four jurisdictions that presently exceed what we are charging for Pearl Hawk Beach. I don't know if you have new information that other jurisdictions plan to increase what they are charging or not, but it really puts us in a very exclusive area, to be kind. If we are using this addition for beneficial purposes, as you have partially outlined, I would tend to be to vote that it's warranted. However, I am concerned when I look at the percentage that would go to client security as so outlined and potentially pro bono access to justice issues without an accurate or fair accounting as to proposals as to how that other monies will be spent. Because quite frankly, the need that you are putting forth is a token of what's being collected. And quite frankly, as was talked about bar dues and people wanting to lower bar dues, client security is really the obligation of the attorneys practicing in Nevada. We possibly may look at $25 increase to them to shore up client security. The other question, too, is as the client security over the last 3 years, I guess the question is, what has been accurately spent out of client security and what is our shortfall? And are we looking at a projected shortfall in the next 2 years? I think this would go a long way in answering questions as to the appropriateness of this request.
Any other questions? Mr. Digesti or Ms. Harler, the court would like to act on this petition, but we would also like to act or consider it in the context of this MJP question. I don't know when your next board meeting is. We would like to act on this swiftly when we get the supplemental information. So the sooner you can provide us with the supplemental information and give us some information about the board's position regarding MJP fees, that would be of importance to us also. So can you project when you might be able to supplement the petition with the data we've requested and this other issue?
Yes, the Board of Governors meets at the end of the month on the 29th of April.
Uh-huh.
So we'll be able to bring the additional information to the Board of Governors should they may want to review and make an adjustment to this ADKT.
Okay. Let me summarize our request, and colleagues, if I miss anything, let me know. We're requesting a history, let's say at least 3 years, of revenue from the payment of the Pearl Hawk Beach fees and the number of Pearl Hawk Beaches who paid new or renewed during those same three-year periods. We'd like to know the allocation of the funds in each of those 3 years as to its usage, and then the basis for the projections and how much is being allocated to client security, how much is projected to be allocated to pro bono service during the period involved. And then lastly, we're interested in knowing as I understand it, how client security, what is the condition, financial condition of client security, how much have they paid out perhaps over the past 3 years, and what has been the shortfall, if any, with respect to those demands on those funds, and then some history about the MJP fees and perhaps a comparison with other jurisdictions on those fees as well. As I said before, and I sat on the same committee that Justice Perry-Gary did. Those dealt with the rules. We set up the fees at that time. I think it's been a long time since it's been looked at. And I think, by and large, it's an area of practice outside of litigation that involves a lot of out-of-state lawyers coming to our state that wouldn't even be involved in Pro Hac Vici at all. So perhaps it's a revenue source and considered in balance may offset the extent of the increase involved in the Pro Hac Vici increase. Just an observation. Did I cover everything generally?
Well, I wasn't on that committee, but I have a question about the multi-jurisdiction practice. Does it only apply to transitional issues? It doesn't apply to litigation or depositions, any type of, in other words, I'm talking about somebody who comes in here and tries a case.
That's Pro Hac Vici.
No matter what?
Yep.
So it's just transactional that is affected with the multi-jurisdiction.
I'm going to clarify that, Justice Chair, but that's my understanding.
You might be able to do a basic summary just as to what the rules encompassed and as it applies to in-house counsel and those kind of things that we were focusing on.
I just don't want you to miss out on somebody who comes in or takes a deposition or tries a case. And I know, Brian, if we get more on this marijuana stuff, especially legalization of recreational, you're going to have people from all over the world coming here to practice law. So I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on that if we got a chance to get the whatever the fee we come up with. I just don't want them to be able to come in and associate with a law firm and say that it's transactional stuff, because it isn't.
Justice Pickering?
Yeah, the last point is confirmation that the Client Security Fund has not had demands placed on it by this cohort of practitioners. And if it has, in what amount relative to the whole? And any impact on any other funds that you see these being applied to? Frankly, I associate myself with Justice Douglas's remarks. I'm a little concerned about putting Nevada, with the exception of Hawaii, we would be over everybody else significantly. Hawaii's at 760, according to your chart. And I don't see this cohort imposing costs on our system that would justify these increases, particularly not without dedicated percentages going to programs that need it. That's of real concern to me. And I trust that everybody's in good faith. I understand that. I'm not questioning that. But my concern is that you send a bad message to companies litigating in Nevada by making this sort of a highway robbery kind of a deal that to cross into Nevada you have to pay this the most amount of any in the country. And yet we have nothing that demonstrates that these people are inflicting injury on our citizens or the lawyers who use services in Nevada. On the contrary, they seem to be relatively trouble-free. That concerns me.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Digesti or Ms. Verner? Okay. Thank you both very much for your remarks here today. We appreciate it. Are there any other persons here in Las Vegas that wish to comment on this petition? Okay, and now about in Carson City, Mr. Mattioli, you want to give us a half-hour speech?
Justice Hardesty is a funny man.
He thinks he's funny.
He thinks he's funny.
Your Honor, I am funny.
Yes, Justice Hardesty, excuse me.
Go ahead.
I wanted to go back and try to address a question that Justice Pickering asked moments ago, and I'm not sure I heard it correctly here in Carson City, but there was some question about whether or not the petition that was brought by the State Bar of Nevada earmarked any of the funds or monies that would be received on Pro Hac Vici to a particular designated source. And we did, and I'm not sure if this is the, Justice Pickering, I'm not sure if this is the question or not, but at the last page of the petition, we did include in the petition that it was the intent of the state bar to dedicate an additional $50 from the proposed increase in Pearl Hawk Beach renewal fees to the client security fund to ensure the continued viability of the fund. So to that extent, it was mentioned in the petition, and it wasn't anything that we intended to omit, certainly.
It was, and I didn't mean to suggest that you didn't. My concern is that as we all age, we won't be here in the future, and we may be left with lawyers looking at what we've done, and I'd be more comfortable if we're earmarking funds to put it actually in the text of the rule, just tossing that out there.
No, I
appreciate your bringing that to my attention. But down the road, you know, 20 years from now, people are like, what were they doing with this? They don't know, and nobody remembers.
No, I agree, and I just wanted to make that clarification that certainly if the petition were approved, I would assume and expect that these earmarks be clearly written in the rule if approved by the court.
I think that would be a good idea. Thank you.
So there are no other persons, Mr. Digesti and Carson City, to comment on the petition, either for or against?
No one else here, Your Honor.
No one else here.
Okay, great. As always, the court very much appreciates the hard work of the Board of Governors and its Executive Director. We thank you very much for your input on this important matter, and we'll await your supplement, and then we'll schedule a conference on the matter after we receive the supplemental information. Okay, thank you very much. We'll be at least